Well, tonight we want to talk about being thankful. It's good to be reminded to be thankful, right? And what scripture did I say on that? Colossians which?
2:6.
Yes, okay. We're going to start at the beginning of Colossians 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And beware lest anyone should cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the word, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would anoint ears to hear and hearts to understand, and me to be a vessel through which you can pour into our lives what you have for us tonight. Let nothing get between what you have to say and what we need to hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, he mentions lots of stuff here that could take us a long time. So I'm going to rush through a little of it to get to where I wanted to talk about tonight. But being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of full assurance of understanding, there's something about being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of full assurance. Obviously, love is a very important thing to God. And if we want to attain all the riches, the full assurance of all the riches, the full assurance of all that God has promised, we're going to attain that as we're knit together in love. Love for God, love for one another, allowing love to just overcome everything that exalts itself against it, because God is love. And so we want to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, God being love. And so we want to, that's part of fighting that good fight of faith. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if we want to get into the treasures, we get into Christ. That's where everything is hidden. It's not hidden to try to keep us from it, but it's hidden there so that when we enter, we have the treasure. Now, the Bible says that all the fullness of God, it says later on in this same passage, that Christ is the fullness of all the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. And Scripture tells us that these things have been hidden from those in darkness, but notice that was put in the Word of God so that it was available to all, so that all could see that though it is hidden, it could be revealed. Now that what's in us naturally wants to find out what's hidden. Just like if somebody's whispering, we want to know what they're saying. If somebody's looking at us and talking, we want to know if they're talking about us. We want to find out those things. Someone tells part of the story, and we may miss everything else that's going on because we want to know what brought it about. Right? So then why is it that so often in Scripture, it tells us what we don't have, but at the same time tells us how to get it, how we can get something, and yet somehow or another, our senses are dulled and we don't look at that and say, wow, that's for me. Until the Holy Spirit enlightens us. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the Word of God to life. And once we've come to life, then all of a sudden, if we are not, as it says here, don't let anyone deceive you or rob you through vain philosophies of men. If we're kept from that and we're allowed to just be led by the Spirit, we see these tidbits in the Bible and we say, hey, wait a minute, that's for me. For instance, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. If we allow the Holy Spirit, without any interference from what some man might try to say, if we just allow the Holy Spirit to touch us on that, we will become enticed with the idea of, I can walk in Christ. If we allow religion in, it says, I've got to be just like Jesus or I'll never accomplish anything. I've got to be just like Jesus to even be a part of the kingdom of God. I've got to walk just exactly like Jesus. And suddenly it becomes, rather than a treat and an opportunity, it becomes a burden. Because, folks, religiously speaking, it's absolutely impossible to walk like Christ. Because religion will not allow you to walk like Christ. Religion will not allow you to walk in the freedom of performing miracles and loving and blessing and praising and being full of joy. Religion will not allow you to do that. I'm reminded of the English teacher in Russia who, when I was telling him about the goodness of God, and this English teacher says to me, but Roger, our priest says that we must suffer. You may, but why must you? Why must you sit in it? Why not look for the remedy? Is not the Word of God full of remedies? Was He not wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities? Was the chastisement of our peace not upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed? Did He become poor that we might be made rich? Was what we deserve cast on Him at the cross so that we could have instead what God wanted us to have through Him? What He deserved, we get. What we deserved, He took. So, now then, as you therefore have received Christ, and how did you receive Christ? Freely. Freely you have received, freely give. You received Him by believing in Him. Just as surely as you received Him that way, so walk in the same way. Walk in Him just like you received Him. Now, a lot of times, people have a hard time believing that they can receive Him. A hard time believing that being forgiven can be that easy. That there's got to be something more to it. And it seems like there should be. But if you spend enough time, you'll find out that that's just the way it is. He set it up that way, and because He set it up that way, that's the way it is. As many as call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And they will have the right to be called the children of God. And so, since you are the children of God, okay, walk like a child of God. Live like you're part of the family. It doesn't take children long to figure out if they're part of the family. And it doesn't take them long to begin to take advantage of the benefits of being part of the family. You've watched that transition many, many times, Mary. When children move in, and at first it's hard for them to imagine that they're just part of the family, and then pretty soon they realize they are part of the family, and then they even come to think that they're a pretty important part of the family. Perhaps even deciding that one is more important than the other to the family. Because they begin to walk as family. Well, this is what the Lord is telling us to as we receive Christ, so walk in Him, rooted in the Lord, built up in Him, looking to him, the author and finisher of your faith, being built up in him. He doesn't tear us down. He doesn't condemn. He builds us up. He lifts us up, being built up in him. Not in anything else. Nobody else. Nobody else can build you up in him. Yes, we can encourage one another. We can correct one another. We can do all kinds of things. We love one another. But being built up in him is what sets us free, right? Someone else might tell us 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times, encouraging us and encouraging us and encouraging us. And we sort of get a little piece of it each time. We maybe start out with, yeah, I know, but, and we get to, well, yeah, I know, and we don't say the but, and then we say, well, yeah, you know, and then all of a sudden it hits and, yeah, this is real. It is real. And it's important that we be rooted in him and be built up in him. It's important that we stay in him until it becomes real. Until it is set free in us. Until we lose him and let him go. Until we put off the grave clothes. Until we put off the deadness that keeps us from the life that is in Christ. And suddenly he's free to be Christ in you, your hope of glory. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone rob you. Don't let your own self rob you. Don't let anything that's out and about and around you rob you. Don't let what you see, don't let what you read, don't let anything keep you from what God has for you, because we can attain all the riches of the full assurance of understanding through Christ. When we understand that all of the answers are there, then that's the place that we will go. But we have to stay in him until we are convinced that all of our answers are in him. I talk about it. I'm a dictionary person. If you don't know the meaning of the word, look it up. And the thing is before you understand what a dictionary is, you might see someone go to that book, look in that book, and give you definition of words, and you might think that's just fine, and then all of a sudden one time you look at it, and pretty soon you realize that thing's full of definitions. And that you can find that word in there. And so then you go to that. Rather than trying, same thing as, okay, we are blessed now when it comes to the Bible, okay? Not only does it have chapters and verses in it so we can find things, but now we can get a concordance. And oftentimes, I will scan. Sometimes the whole New Testament, because I'm sure that I know where something is. I mean, I will start through it, and I'm sure I must have it underlined somewhere or something, and I will be looking for a scripture. Now, it might be that I remember where it was from a different Bible. You know how you remember where different scriptures are in different Bibles? You know, God's given us minds that are amazing, amazing things, you know? But oftentimes I will, and oftentimes while I am reading it, I'm having this thing going on in my head. This is really good to read this, but I really wouldn't need to spend all this time reading this. I can just get my concordance. And I will just find that scripture just like that. All I have to do is have a key word in my concordance. My exhaustive concordance will do it just fine. But then there's another little problem. Because I know a lot of scriptures in a lot of different translations. And some concordances don't have the words that I want. So I might have to look in 10 places to find it. But still, I can look in 10 places quicker than I can scan the whole thing. But the point of it is that I know that the answers are there. And even while I'm going ahead and reading it, and for me it's a problem sometimes because while I'm reading and looking for one scripture, I might find 20 others that I really like too. That I'm reminded of. The Word of God stirring up in my spirit, you know. And so then sometimes I have to hurry on to keep trying to find the one that I really want, because these are really good. And there may be things that speak to those things. The Word of God is so alive. It is so alive. And so the answers are all there. And so the more that we become convinced that the answers are all there, then we cease to look in other places for the answers. But we need to be rooted and built up in Christ, because we still are in a body. And the Spirit is meek and gentle. And the Spirit will not force us to overcome our body. And so while the Spirit whispers, our minds will shout. But look at this. If we are not feeling well, our body will say, I don't feel good. The Spirit will say, but by His stripes you are healed. And it will become a battle as to which one we will listen the most to. And the one that we listen the most to will ultimately win. Ultimately. So we have to cast down those other things and lift up the spiritual things. We have to be built up in Him. Okay, so it says, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And that's what I want to talk about, the thanksgiving part. Because the thanksgiving part is key to abounding in faith. And abounding in faith is key to receiving all of the treasures that God has for us. Abounding in our faith is what builds us up to, by His stripes you were healed, and we stand on that. Abounding in our faith is what tells us that God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. Abounding in our faith is what overcomes, because His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And the way to abound, it says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. In other words, being thankful. Being thankful to God. Being thankful for what we have. Being thankful for what God has done. But don't be limited to being thankful for what He has done, or thankful for what we can see. But just thankful to God in everything, giving thanks unto God. Not for everything, but in everything. Being thankful. And as I was finishing this, I had a perfect example of the opportunity, because Vicki came, and by the way, you'll have to replace the ink cartridge before you can print. I said, so it had quit printing. I'd have, you know, the little signs up that says you're going to need to replace ink pretty soon, but I was thinking maybe that pretty soon wasn't going to be quite this soon. But I was still on the little sample that they give you when you get the printer. So I'd been printing, and in fact, the day I printed, I thought, well, maybe it'll run out today. I printed 12 pages or something, and no, it didn't. It was printing just great, so I figured, well, it's, you know, it's just dandy. But here comes my wife and says, oh, I was printing some stuff, and you're going to need to replace the ink cartridge. I said, so you ran it out of ink? Well, they just weren't looking very good. Well, fortunately, since I've been thinking about being thankful and being grateful, and since the Holy Spirit, when you're thinking about these things, you ever notice how when you're thinking about the things of God, the Holy Spirit just joins right in? And He begins to help you. And He begins to remind you. And at the most opportune times, like at times like that, He reminded me, this is a good place to give thanks. I said, well, yeah, thank God I've got another cartridge. And it's right here. I don't even have to go digging for it. Boy, I'm thankful that I've got another cartridge. Now, that's a little thing. But you see, being thankful in little things. You see, just being thankful and being grateful is an expression of the things that God has put into us. So those things bring glory to God. And so God enjoys the thankfulness of his people. Now, we know that it always feels better when we're thankful, don't we? When we have a grateful heart, we feel better. When we don't have a grateful heart, why don't we have a grateful heart? Well, usually it's because we didn't get what we wanted. Yeah? And if we don't get what we want, well then, we're ungrateful. And the Bible warns us about being ungrateful. But what does that have to do with God? Well, it has a lot to do with God. Because God doesn't like pity parties. And when we're not thankful, what we're doing is feeling sorry for ourselves, aren't we? And do we ever feel better when we feel sorry for ourselves? No, we never do. Do we ever think anything good when we're feeling sorry for ourselves? No, we never have a good thought when we're feeling sorry for ourselves. Honestly, when we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we just dig and dig and dig. When we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we're like Vicky in the lake with a snake around her neck and she don't want to touch the snake. We don't really feel good about it, but somehow the enemy convinces, not you, Vicky. Vicky's like you're sharing a vision with us. If you go into church, you'd know that. But, you know, I mean, that's what it is. When you're feeling sorry for yourself, you begin to sink, don't you? And, you know, feeling sorry for yourself is bad, but it oftentimes it can turn into bitterness. It can turn into accusation or condemnation of someone else. We can become very good at rationalizing why we should continue in that direction. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're hooked to a buoy in the ocean. You're going to sink it too. But if we allow thanksgiving to begin to burst through, and to thank God who always gives us the victory or causes us to triumph, if we allow that to come in, now we begin to abound in our faith. Thanksgiving fuels faith. Because thanksgiving is positive. Thanksgiving builds hope. Thanksgiving reminds us that there's something to be thankful for. And we always can be thankful for God. And it's good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to give thanks for things that God has done, to remember what God has done. That's great, but don't limit yourself to what He has done. Be thankful for what He's promised. Apply His promises to what you desire. And be thankful. And even when things rise up and exalt themselves against what you desire, be thankful because you have the assurance. You see, because you bring yourself into this assurance. Assurance that there is no God like our God. An assurance that our God reigns. And that He doesn't just reign in heaven somewhere. He reigns now in the lives of those who give Him dominion. We give Him dominion over our lives. We give Him dominion over our families. We give Him dominion over our homes. We give Him dominion over this body and over the people in this body. We give Him dominion. We welcome Him to take every bit of ground that He can in our community, in our county, in our state, and in our nation. We ask Him to arise, O Lord, and let the enemy be scattered. And it's not just words. It's not just something that we're going to do here when we're together, but it's something that we're going to do and we're going to have confidence in and we're going to live that way. And then that is going to overflow out of our mouths. It becomes the living water. But I tell you that when you're not thankful, when we are not thankful, we are not a shining light for Jesus, are we? No. Well, but not everything's so easy to be thankful for. I didn't say be thankful for anything. I said, be thankful in everything. Be thankful to God. Let yourself be built up. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let yourself be buoyed up. Thankfulness and praise is a snake repellent, man. It destroys the works of the enemy. The enemy cannot make any progress in your life when you're full of thanksgiving and praise. When you're full of thanksgiving and praise, then you have confidence for God to change things that have been a burden to you. And if He doesn't change them, that's fine. You just ain't carrying it around anymore. We can't do it. We can't carry it. The minute that we start to carry something, the enemy starts following us around. You ever see that? Is it Parent Trap or whatever? These two twins anyway, you know? And they take the woman goes hiking with them that they don't want to be their mother. And they keep putting rocks in her backpack. And she's getting tireder and tireder. And each time they put another rock in the backpack. Well, that's what the enemy does. He puts a rock in your backpack. Just stop being thankful long enough to open up your backpack and he'll start dropping rocks in. He'll just keep coming along and increasing your load. And then he'll give you visions that are not good visions. And he'll whisper things in your ear. You know, when he gets to the place where he can just speak clearly to you, oh, he's really got it made then. Because by then you're agreeable. And so that whatever he says, you say, yeah, I guess that's right. You prayed about this and it didn't work. Yeah, I prayed about this and it didn't work. Why should you be thankful? Why should anybody tell you to be thankful? They got it great. It's easy for them to be thankful. Yeah, it's easy for them to be thankful. Our minds begin to become our worst enemies. But this says that we can abound in our faith with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving builds up our faith. You know, it is. It's amazing to me, having been raised in a generation and my children all having learned to be thankful and at least to use their manners, please and thank you and things like that. You know, I'm kind of a stickler about that. I just think that it's real good if people want the sugar pass to say pass it please. You know, if you're going to ask for something sweet, you should be happy to get it. You know, please and thank you. When Jordan went to the ROTC, he got in trouble because he said yes sir to everybody, and you're only supposed to say sir to the officers. But they figured I must have been an officer because he said I didn't tell them they had to say yes sir except for once in a while. Once in a while it was necessary for them to say yes sir, but that was something that we came up with and with manners. And so sometimes it's just amazing to me how few manners lots of people have. But when I think about that, then I think, am I mannerly toward God? Am I grateful? Am I giving Him the proper amount of gratitude? I'm extremely blessed. Extremely. And am I thankful enough for that? Years ago, one of the in a group of songs that I wrote when I first saved, one of them was about that. You know, have I stopped to thank you lately for the sunshine? Do I think to thank you all the time, or do I just call on you when I'm in pain? Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you, my sweet Jesus, for the rain. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, again and again. I think God was trying to tell me something when I wrote that. Have I maintained an attitude of gratitude? And if not, will I? Well, yes, because I believe it's important. And I can see how easily thankfulness will wash away a bad attitude. Thankfulness will wash away doubt. Thankfulness will wash away fear. Thankfulness will put us on the track to seeking the Lord and understanding and allowing the Holy Spirit to say how He can work it out. In just a simple thing of deciding to be thankful that I have another ink cartridge, rather than being ungrateful that I have to change it. It changes the whole thing. Just as simple as that is. So if something as simple as that can do that, then how much more will the larger things be overcome by thankfulness? By a grateful heart. We have so much to be thankful for. Especially that has been given to us to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for Him saying to us that we can come to the full place of assurance just by being built up and being rooted in Him. We have enough to be grateful for to overcome any amount of ungratefulness. To overcome it having to be our way. My way or the highway. And I know that sometimes I want my way. And I'm going to have to overcome that. And sometimes our way is the right way. You know, when I'm driving the vehicle and I have the wheel, I want to keep it going my way. And I don't want somebody grabbing the wheel away from me. And sometimes we know what's right, and when we know what's right and we have to do it, there are certain principles in the Bible that are set up, and so that's just the way it is. And sometimes it's going to be my way over the way that my children desire, because that's just the way that it is. She smiles and walks out. Not mad, though. But that's just the way that it is. And sometimes I'm going to give up my way. I don't know, just because my way is not important enough for it to be a problem. And sometimes I don't give up my way and it becomes a problem and then I can repent. Isn't that good? Well, I'm thankful for that. But I can see where probably there is not a circumstance in life where thankfulness will not change the situation. The first thing it will do is change my attitude. Have you ever noticed that when your attitude adjusts, everything else does change? Because when your attitude adjusts, your perspective changes. Now you can begin to see it a little more clearly rather than through a glass darkly. Now you can begin to see somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's hopes. Now you can begin to see how it could work out if you'll just trust the Lord. Now you can begin to see. And then when you can begin to see something, it's just like, I can look at this and I can read this just fine. But I can find what I'm looking for with these on more quickly. So as much as I would rather do it without them, for your sake, it's best if I use them. And for my sake as well. I want the Holy Spirit to continue to work with me on thankfulness. I want Him to continue to show me in little and in big things. Because I think that you all can see just how easily it turns things. And just how easily when you turn those things how much better it works. You know, it's like sometimes when you're taking things apart and putting them back together, every now and then something that you took apart and the nut came off real easy and just fine and dandy, and you got three or four of them there, and you go to put them back on, three of them go back on easy, and one of them doesn't want to go back on. One of them wants to go on a different bolt. For some reason, I don't know. But you play with it, you turn it backwards, you turn it forwards, you turn it and turn it and turn it. Finally it hits and it goes on easily like it was supposed to in the first place. Well, a lot of times in our lives, we try a lot of things that just aren't working when the Lord has given us the working things and it all works perfectly. But again, we have to be built up in it so that we attain to all the riches of the fullness of assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures. So we know where they are. They're in Him. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit. He was so confident of how this works, he wrote them a letter. He said, I'm with you. Not only am I with you, but he said, I'm rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He was speaking by faith. So since you've received this, walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Don't forget to give thanks. Don't forget to be thankful. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. But let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Find a way, find something to begin to give thanks for. And let that thankfulness turn your heart and mind. Move you into the peace of God. Help you to attain the assurance of hope. Help you to get back to what you know is right. Help you to that place where, you know, when you do this, you know, it's sometimes it might seem like a lot of steps going into it, and it's like you almost have to do it line by line, precept by precept. You almost have to do it like when I ask Joshua for computer help. He knows me well enough to know to put every step in for me. He used to sometimes send me the conclusion of things with a very small description, and I would say, son, this is your dad you're talking to. And then it would come with the steps that it needed to be. You know, it's like, I know that he knows what I need, so if anything is not functioning on the web page, I don't even think about it. I send him a note, and I expect it to be changed. Even if he does not answer my email, and even acknowledge that he heard about the problem, it's not very long before I go check and it's fixed. And it's been that way so many times that I don't doubt that it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I figure his computer must be off. Well, if I have that much confidence in him, I know God's computer is never off. And so then, when I come to the fullness of that assurance, and my heart is steadfast, and I'm thankful, and I've battered down the vain imaginations, and I've overcome all of the burdens that I think I need to bear, and I enter into that gratefulness and that thankfulness, it's like, wow, this is good. It's all better. And just with a seed of thankfulness, just a seed of remembering that we have something to be thankful for that will turn us around. It might be something that has nothing to do with what put us into the state of utter mutter. But when we begin to be thankful, we'll begin to focus on what we're thankful about. So that then we can go back to the other thing and begin to apply the principles that God has given us and see it changed. Remember what Jesus said to the man when he came and he wanted his son healed, and his servants came and said, "Don't bother the man, he's dead." First thing Jesus said to him, "Fear not. Don't meditate on what they just told you. Don't think about what they just told you. This would be a good place for you to give thanks that I'm coming to your house today. This would be a good place for you to just think about what I might do when I get there. This would be a good time for you to do anything but fear." Because if he began to fear, he began to feel sorry for himself. He had a lot of things he could have got torqued off about. Some woman coming and interrupting Jesus. Somebody wanting to be healed. Hey, my kid's dying. It would be interesting to know. You know, maybe he'll be one of those people you look up in heaven and ask him, you know, what was going through your mind at that moment? Ain't going to give voice to that. No way. We can save ourselves a lot of trouble if we don't give voice to things but anything but Thanksgiving too, can't we? And so, as you therefore have received Christ, if indeed you have, and you have, if you haven't, receive Him. Walk in Him, you can do it. Rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught. You know, when you establish something, it's something that you can build upon. If you establish a business, you want to build on the business. It's something with substance. Faith has substance, you know. It's a substance of things hoped for. So you're establishing something. Something to build on. You know? So many people establish faith by maybe even coming so far as being born again and never touch it again. Never get rooted or grounded or built up in Him. But you established in faith as you have been taught, and abounding in it with thanksgiving. Don't forget to be thankful. Search it out and find out what being thankful can do for you. Use it as a weapon in your arsenal. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You've given us a peculiar sort of a weapon, thankfulness. But I can see, Lord, where it quenches the fiery darts of the enemy, changes my mind, changes my heart. Help us, Lord, to begin to increase in our thankfulness and to abound in our faith as we do it. In Jesus' name, amen.